today and has more care planned for the future. We pray for his brother Ray and his two kids, Chris and John. Pray for Donald's family. It's grieving a loss for Andrew Prine. We're thankful he's here, but we know he's dealing with a lot of health issues, so we pray for him. For a friend named Crystal's grieving and her diabetes diagnosis. And Hortense, she thanks you, Lord, for days that we have with you, for friends and family. As we get into your word tonight, Lord, lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Mr. Micah, if you could turn off that bottom left panel of lights. Warren, if you could cut these lights here. Now it's time for our feature presentation. Just kidding. I've seen some stuff on Facebook recently where it's like showing you those little clips and stuff that used to play before movies and like feature presentation and all that stuff. So it's been kind of dwelling in my head. But we're getting back into our study on personal standards. I really want to encourage you to take notes tonight. This will be very helpful. What's the goal of this study? It's for you to develop standards by what the Word of God says. Remember, the keeping of standards does not make you righteous. If you think you're really somebody because you're doing things, you need to change your mind. You say, I need to change my mind. What do I need to change my mind to? That it's Christ working through you. We are connected to the vine and we bear fruit from what the Lord enables us to do. This does not mean that we are hands-free from our Christian life because you still have an old, rotten, sinful nature that is set on doing what it wants to do. A lot of what we're going to cover tonight is in Galatians 5. We'll get there when we get there. But the principal standard we're going to talk about tonight in our seventh week of study is feelings. It's the feelings standard. And it's basically, how will I handle my feelings and emotions? You would be called a psychopath if you don't have feelings and emotions. I'm not going to call any of you psychopaths tonight because I think we're all dealing with feelings and emotions. There's some things that we need to address about that fact because a lot of people will use that fact as a weapon to do sinful things, and a lot of people will use that as a kind of a sword of self-righteousness because they think they have their feelings under control. We'll talk about that in a minute, but one thing that stood out to me was this verse here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. The Word of God says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I want you to focus on some things here. The first thing is that the peace of God is something that should have an active presence in your life. It should rule. Okay, I want you to think of that as a comparison to the rule of law here when we drive around. We have speed limits, we have traffic lights, we have road signs that give us instructions. The individual who drives without obeying those traffic instructions will be brought to justice by the law, and they're actually dangerous to other drivers on the road. You all know all about that. We live in Hillsborough County. The believer can be a similar negative impact to the body. I want you to see right there in the middle there where it says, ye are called in one body. Paul is reminding the church in Colossae and ultimately every brother and sister in Christ that we're all a part of the same team, okay? It's not Calvary Community Church versus First Baptist Church of Land O'Lakes. It should not be that way because we're all under the same head, that head being Jesus Christ. But primarily, the peace of God needs to rule. And the second thing is that we're in the same body in the middle there. The third thing is you are called to be thankful. I remember as a teenager trying to figure out what's God's calling for my life, what's God's will for my life. And it's verses like this that are so simple, but people think they're not complex enough. It is a part of God's will for you to be thankful, and you can attain thankfulness by changing your perspective. And that's what I want to draw your attention to here. The peace of God rule, this peace of God, is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace with God outside of Jesus Christ, period. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. All of our good works are of no effect to our sin payment. The unconverted sinner has no peace with God until they believe on Jesus Christ, and now they are in a permanent standing with God. This standing is now called justification. They are waiting for their glorification, and they go through the process of sanctification. This is that daily walking in the Spirit and denying the lusts of the flesh. Any kind of peace in your life that is outside of God is an idol. It's a very hard line to take, but it is the truth. When we as Christians put other things as top priority, what we're serving and the motivations for why we do what we do, we are essentially saying to God, you are not enough, I need something else. This is why I think some of the hardest things for people to do is read the Bible and do what it says, because it's not enough for people. We're looking for other things. We're looking for wealth. We're looking for acceptance. We're looking for new forms of government. We're looking for all different types of things except what we already have in Jesus Christ. Look at that second line up there. Be ye thankful. Thankfulness is a result of letting the peace of God rule in my mind. If you're constantly dwelling on the peace that you have through Jesus Christ, and you're also reading the Word so that the Word works through you, you're going to become more Christ-like, you will naturally be thankful. You don't have to think and try. It'll happen naturally because it's what you're focusing on. Okay, if you treat your body the right way, it'll be in shape. If you don't, it'll be out of shape. You don't have to eat healthy and then try to convince your body that these healthy things are good. It will do what it's designed to do. You have a new nature in you that will do what it is designed to do. You just have to walk in it and not in your flesh. And that's the problem, folks. If we're honest people here tonight, and I believe most of you are honest, all of you are honest, then you'll understand that these are choices we have to make. And it's daily. Also, I want to remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. That's the evil is sufficient for today. What does that mean? I don't want you to look at your life as one long commitment that you have to make today. Just do what you need to do today. And if you've already messed up today, decide to do right from this point forward. And then when you lay your head down and you wake up tomorrow, you just take care of that day. Don't think of your life as one big, long thing that you got to choose to do right now. You need to ask for strength daily. It's a day in, day out strength. And it's a much more joyful life. It's a much slower pace of life instead of saying, well, I did good for 3 days, but I got to do good for the next 30 years. Just worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. We don't even know if tomorrow's coming. Can you imagine if we lived with that kind of mindset, that this is the last chance we have today, that's it? That we should be living with that kind of mindset. But what does this look like? So here's where I want you to write down some indicators here, or some markers, not indicators, but markers. The first thing is our feelings are a part of our makeup, not our foundation and blush and all of that. I'm talking about how God made us. He made us in His image. God has different emotions. He has different feelings. When you do, there's a great article on a website that I don't recommend often, but gotquestions.org has a very good write-up on being created in God's image and specifically how emotions that we have are also found in Jesus Christ. The problem with feelings and emotions is what they lead us to do, okay? If you have anger as a feeling, it can lead to the actual action of wrath and rage. We should not do that. Jesus was grieved. So your grief, that doesn't mean you're weak. That doesn't mean that you have work to do. Grief is a natural part of who we are. God experiences grief. God experiences joy and pleasure when He receives worship and all these different things. So we're made in God's image, and it's a part of who we are. That's why I said in the beginning of our study, if you don't have emotions and feelings, you are considered somebody that is lacking something. You study these serial killers, and a lot of what they go through is very foreign to a person who understands feelings and has them. So to deny them, to say that all feelings and all emotions are a bad part of our sinful nature is not true. What is true is that they are touched and infected by the sinful nature. We can have a desire for fellowship, but then go seek it in an immoral relationship. We can have a desire for companionship, but then have our feet set to do wicked things with people who are doing the same thing. So that desire for fellowship or compassion in and of itself is not bad, but how does the sin nature damage that? It sure does. We have a whole redefinition already of the word love. The word love means something completely different. You can say it the same way that another person would say it, and it means two totally different things. A lot of the definition of love today is tolerance. If you really love me, you're going to let me do what I want to do. That is not love. That is negligence. If I let my daughter do what she wanted to do, it wouldn't be long before she found herself in a serious situation. She's got quick feet right now. Y'all know them toddler feet. They're fast. They're fast, and they start up out of nowhere. And the only warning is the accelerating on them feet hitting the pavement, you know? We're working with Remy. When we go outside in the parking lot, hold a hand. Hold a hand. So she knows you don't get to just run around the parking lot because there's no cars there, because you can get hurt. Something can happen. But if she wants to do what she wants to do, what kind of father am I if I say, well, let the kid be a kid, and she runs out into the street? I know you've heard that illustration a lot. This is how people are raising their kids. They're raising their kids, letting the kid make the decision. And then those kids are going to school, and then they're affecting teachers, and the teachers are acquiescing to the kids. And now the next thing you know, you're going to have kids running the whole thing. I love kids. They're not ready to do adult things, hence they're called kids. Feelings are also indicators. They show us things. If you're someone that's dealing with a lot of gloom and depression or anxiety, there's some things that are causing that. These things, I believe those things don't just happen. There is science to chemical imbalances. I'm not going to speak on that because I'm not educated on it. But as far as biblical things, we know that people can be affected by spiritual things that cause us to have heavy countenances, heavy thoughts. Okay, they're indicators of something. We need to find out, what are they telling us? And then finally, feelings can be good or bad. Our feelings should be filtered through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I first got my first coffee machine in my apartment, I used the wrong filters, and I was always bothered at how much of my coffee I was chewing. That's because the filters were not the correct size. So I'm drinking coffee, and I'm wondering, why does everyone enjoy this? This is breakfast and beverage, I guess. My filter was incorrect, so it might have worked for something else, maybe straining pulp out of orange juice, but it wasn't helping for what I was doing here. The Word of God is how we need to filter what we're feeling and what we're going through. Our feelings should be filtered through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As we submit, that's the operative word there, as we submit. What does it mean to submit? Yield. You want to keep driving forward, but you got a yield sign? Stop. Check with traffic that's already in existence and then move forward. You want to do what you want to do? Okay. Stop. Yield. Compare. What does the word say? What do I say? If you're saying something different from God, you should probably do a little U-turn on that path you're heading on. But don't be surprised you keep going on that way and the road gets rough. And things are, well, why are things bad? You considered the word, but you didn't yield to it. You didn't submit. As we submit to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will experience the fruit of the Spirit naturally. The fruit of the Spirit creates a filter for us when we have a wide range of feelings. Ask yourself, is this feeling leading me to the fruit of the Spirit or to the fruit of my flesh? There are differences. Here's the first list. I did some math, and y'all know I'm terrible with math, not good. This is actually pretty interesting. This is in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to go through verses 19 through 24. There is almost double the amount of the fruit of the flesh as there is to the fruit of the Spirit. The only difference is you'd have to count "and such like" as the 18th one. But there's 17 starting from adultery going all the way to revelings. And if you count "such like," you can get 18. And there's 9 fruit of the Spirit. What are the works of the flesh? Which every believer, every child of God can do these things because you have a flesh nature. You shouldn't, but it's a part of our sinful nature. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. I think that's, idolatry is one of the biggest ones because it leads you to all those other things. You idolize a person or anything else above God, that's a problem. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath and strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this does not mean that if you have a flesh nature and a spirit nature, you're not going to get to heaven. What it means is that flesh nature, which does the fleshly things, you're not going into heaven with a washed version of your flesh. The flesh is going back into the ground. The payment, all those things that are up there, Jesus has paid for those and such like. You're not walking into heaven as a version of yourself, like some fixer-upper home, you know? That's not how it is. You're getting something brand new because that's what you need. You need a new birth. Verses 22 through 23 detail what the fruit of the Spirit produces. It's fruit singular. I heard a commentator say it's one fruit, nine different flavors. I like that. It still makes it sound like, oh, I have some flavors and you don't. That's not how it goes. We're not looking up here and saying, yeah, I've got everything but joy. God didn't give me that. It's not a, you know, you get to pick. All of these things should be working in your life. Not as an evidence that you're saved, but an evidence that you're obedient and walking. Do you see the difference? I want you to see the difference. Because people will look at this list and say, if you don't have this, you're not saved. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is this is evidence that you're yielding and doing what God says. This is evidence of obedience, not of birth, not of existence, but of yieldedness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness, goodness, which is most times in other translations translated as kindness, faith, meekness. Whoa, there's only two people in Scripture that are described as meek, Moses and Jesus, and the third is the believer who yields. That's pretty powerful. And temperance, which is self-control. When I was starting this study, I looked at temperance as a focus, but then as I widened it a little more, I was like, all of these can apply. But self-control, you are expected to control the way that you think and feel. It's not enough to just say, well, you know, I just, these things happen to me and then I just do them. Well, okay, you can acknowledge that that's an issue, but what are you going to do about that? There is self-control available. Against such, there is no law. Now, I want you to notice here, three categories with three qualities in each. Category number one, love, joy, and peace. Category number two, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Category number three, faith, meekness, and temperance. You see those three right there? These are three categories in different, I don't want to say different recipients, because they all should be on how we treat one another in the body and how we look at the world as well. But the first one, these are Godward qualities. These are not things that come naturally to man. That word love there, you'd say, well, what about you know, love? Like love that produces children, isn't that natural to man? That's not the Greek word for this word love. You'll see that in a moment. Joy. Man is not naturally set on joy. How'd it go with Cain and Abel? Not good. Cain was told, you're wrong. You need to do the right thing. And what did Cain have joy when he received that? No, he had hatred. Peace, not a natural quality of man. Look at our world today. Not to get to political, but you go see the protests that are going outside in Chicago and the Democratic National Convention. That hatred is in our country. It's funded by a lot of universities. You see that hatred in the streets. It's not natural. If it was natural, then everybody would want to come to a peaceful agreement with anything. It's not natural. We want to lie, cheat, steal, deceive. The next category, category two, are outward qualities, qualities that we should be demonstrating towards others. Patience, long-suffering. This is where most marriages start falling apart. Gentleness, being kind. How easy is it to say the unkind thing? Very easy. Goodness. And then there are inward qualities. Faith, meekness, and temperance. Let's define these here. So if you're with me tonight and you're writing down, I would encourage you to write these down. When you read the scripture here, you can see this understanding of these words. Love, a self-sacrificing affection for others. That does not come of your own heart. It won't. You're going to want to do what's best for you. I'm looking out for me. Can't tell you how many times that trope has been used in movies and shows, and kids grow up thinking, I got to look out for me. It's a part of the American dream, is it not? God's love is self-sacrificing. What model can I look to? Jesus Christ. For God so agape, loved the world. That's the Greek word there. joy, a deep-seated gladness, regardless of the circumstances. And can I tell you, this is hard if you're only focusing on things that are happening to you. If you are only focused on all the things that are happening to you and where you are already placed, you're going to have a hard time finding joy. Because the circumstances are bad. They're not good. Just out of curiosity, I looked at, you know, the polling results. You know, people in my community, 50 people came out to vote. That bugs me. That's not good, because then, you know, it does. You don't get the result where things are protected. But if I'm focusing on that, boy, I could have a really bad day today. I could have a horrible day. But I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on the fact that I'm found in Christ, and I get to teach the Word of God tonight. That's good. Deep-seated gladness, regardless of the circumstances. Peace, an inner quietness and repose, regardless of the circumstances. This takes practice. It doesn't come naturally. This is why I say when someone trusts Christ as their Savior, we should not expect them to have everything put together, because a lot of us are still living the Christian life, and these first three we're already going, I should do more of that. Long-suffering, the second category, the outward. Forbearance, even under provocation. What's it mean to be, you know, what's provocation? You're getting poked. You're getting tempted. You're getting tested. Try me one more time. There shouldn't be a one more time. You should be patient. And this is where I feel like it can be the hardest in our country right now. Because we're getting poked. We're getting prodded. We're getting provoked. People want you to lash out and do something that will cause your voice to be silenced. Don't let them. Be patient. Gentleness, benevolence, and graciousness. Goodness, constructive action, reaching out to others. So not just words. This is James 2. Be ye warmed and filled. Close the door. Keep the food inside. I'm so glad my sentence can provide warmth and food for people. Words don't have any meaning like that. Instead of just saying something, be a doer. Provide. And this is why the body of Christ is such a beautiful thing. Each one of you, you might be a finger or a toe or an arm hair. I don't know. We all should be doing and working for the same thing. Who am I to say everybody be like me? Can you imagine if the body of Christ was one big toe? Problems. You'd have an issue. Constructive action. Not action to go, ooh-hoo, look at me, I'm somebody. Look at what I did. That's not constructive. And then these last three here, faith, which is reliability, trustworthiness, meekness, the acquiescence to authority and consideration of others. Now, this is where a lot of people will go, but what if my government tells me to do something that God has told me not to do? Then you obey God. But may I be very clear, be ready for the consequences? They're going to throw me in jail. Then be ready for that. God will provide. Well, a pastor, they're going to kill me. That's actually a good thing. I know it's very dark to think in that way, but it's only dark if you think this is it. Here, this is it. They take your life. You're going to be with the Lord. And the church has grown because saints have been killed. Period. You read letters to the church in Smyrna. They're described as being crushed, but from that, a beautiful fragrance arises. I don't know how much of that we're going to face in this country, but you go to other countries and there are Christians who are hanging by their tree, whose blood is dripping out of their bodies for their faith. And then, of course, temperance, the ability to master oneself. If you find yourself spouting off all the time, you always got something to say, you always got some type of excuse, you should probably look at temperance. James says, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Talk less, listen more. So what does that have to do with feelings? Your feelings are either going to be of your flesh or of your spirit. You're going to be dealing with things that might be sent to you. May I be transparent with you? There are times in my life, I'll tell you just this. On Saturday, I don't know what it was, but I just was so depressed. I don't know what it was. No reason, none. Just had heaviness all day. And that carried into probably last night is when I finally stopped feeling that way. But I had to address that with the truth. I couldn't pin what it is. I still couldn't tell you what it is. I'm going to resolve on the fact that it was a demonic attack, that it was something spiritual that was happening, spiritual wickedness in high places, but it doesn't change what the Word of God says. In those times, what I continuously, from Saturday until last night, what I dwelt on was the fact that I know who I belong to. And even though my body and soul felt differently, I am going to choose to dwell on what God says is true. And that can be tiring. It can be taxing. But the opposite is worse. You start believing the things your mind can produce. People are doing that right now, and they're taking the lives of others. Know the Word. Do what it says. Trust that the Lord will bring you through it. I've had periods like I've just described to you, periods of that time where I can't explain it. Restlessness, anxiety, whatever it may be, I'm going to give that to the Lord. They're part of who we are with our sinful nature. They can be good or bad, but I want to dwell on that middle line there. They're indicators. Feelings are indicators. Indicators, more specifically, of what's going on inside. Are we walking in our flesh and our spirit? If you've got a 10-day period and you're walking in your flesh for 7 of them, those next 3 days that you walk in the Spirit, they'll be difficult days. You want to know why? Because you've been trained to walk in darkness for 7. It's just simple math. You eat a certain way for a month and then you go do something different. The first few days of that different diet, your body's like, this is not normal. This is not normal. So are we going to quit every time it's not normal? These feelings that come in, you've got to be disciplined. Otherwise, you're just going to be unstable. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, too. I think it was, I don't remember what principle it was, but we did that 3-point application. Read the Word, hear the Word, believe the Word, obey the Word. This is a part of that. And, you know, I think all of us personally, we all have different ticks. Some of you might be here and you've given in to anger more than others. So you find yourself getting angry more often. Okay, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you that's unfixable. It just means there's something sensitive there and you've got to address that. You know, maybe taking steps for the person who's angry are different from the steps of the person who is more depressive. And I'm telling you, folks, you can go all over the internet and take all sorts of personality tests and all sorts of questions and all of that. And at the end of the day, if you're trusting in some type of psychological approach to tell you who you are in Christ, you're not going to find it. Not saying those things don't have benefit. They might be able to point out traits. But at the end of the day, you're new if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. All things are new. You have a new way of life. Don't trust in what the world says. God uses the things that are weak to the world. That was the number one complaint of the Greeks. Your God died? He was meek? That's not what my gods do. Doesn't change the fact that that's how God chose to redeem the world. But just be careful, because feelings, they're real, okay? They're totally real, but they do not dictate your life. The Lord does. Submit to Him. And that's going to take some practice. That because some of you have walked in here today and you've let how you feel affect every part of your life. You got to start thinking differently. And I'm here for you. I don't ever share like what I shared tonight because I think it can focus too much on me. But I do want you to know, I go through these things too. And it sometimes is out of nowhere. And if I start thinking hard enough, I can try to find something to figure it out, but what's the purpose of where it came from? I know where I am right now. I know who I am according to what the Bible says, so I'm going to focus on that and not on other things. And this is why we should pray for one another and be here to help one another. Some of you are going through those difficult times in this moment right now. You're not finding joy. You're not finding love. You're not finding peace. It's not because you're broken and you need someone to come in and fix you. It's because you're not focusing on the right things. It'll take some time to make that adjustment, but it can be made. You have Jesus Christ. That is enough. That's plenty. Now we got to start getting our legs back and start doing what we need to do. And I do care about you. I do love you. But the Lord cares and loves you more than I ever could. And I want to point you to Him. Amen? Good study. I pray it's helpful to you. Let's raise the lights. I want to share with you how you can know for certain that you're going to heaven when you die. This hand to represent you, me, and everybody in the whole world. This block of sin represents sin. I put this on top of my hand because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God loves us very much, but He hates sin. This sin separates us from Him. To get to heaven, we have to be perfect without any sin. And that does not mean perfect from one day of commitment forward. We have to have no sin at all. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God in a literal fire-burning hell. You've got to be perfect to get in. We all fall short. That's what it means to sin, to miss the mark. We as sinners have missed the mark. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So that tells us we're not only are we not able to be saved by good works, but somebody sinless has to shed their blood, die for our sin. I can't die for you even if I wanted to, and you certainly can't die for me because none of us are without sin. This is why God sent His Son into the world. This hand represents Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Salvation is understood in this way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, anybody, well, what if they've done? They just extra qualify. You know what I'm saying? Whosoever believeth in Him. That word believe means to rely upon, to trust. Whosoever believeth in Him. Who's the Him? Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He's fully God and fully man. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Well, do you mean they're going to live physically forever? No. They're not going to experience a separation of the soul from God. Should not perish, but have a certain kind of life. It's not temporary. It's not probationary. It's not life until you sin again. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you're here tonight and you say, I don't know I'm going to heaven, you can know. You say, what do I have to do? Change your mind. Whatever you're believing in right now, when you walked in here, I'm believing in who I am. I'm not that bad. I don't do this and I do this. That's not good enough. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. That He, as the Son of God, shed His blood, died, and rose again 3 days later to pay for your sin. The moment you do that, the Bible says, not this pastor in this church, although we will echo it, but the Bible said it first, you are passed from death unto life, and you'll never be brought under condemnation again. That, by definition, has to be eternal life. Will you pray with me, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, that makes sense. I have put my trust in Jesus Christ this evening. I walked in here thinking I could save myself by a pattern of good works or religious duties, but my mind has been changed and I have put my trust in Jesus Christ. For the first time in my life, I now have 100% assurance that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? I certainly would. Would you raise your hand and let me know? Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just tells me that you put your trust in Jesus Christ tonight. Anyone before we close? Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Are you leading a feelings-dominated life? Are you allowing the things that happen to you to define who you are? In the same way a person changes their mind to receive salvation, I pray that you would change your mind to receive that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Quit looking at the circumstances and look at the Savior. And I'm praying for you. It is a difficult life. You are not alone. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the comforting, indwelling Holy Spirit. And thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray these things. Amen.